I sent out a note. I hope I didn't offend anybody by doing so, but to ask you to read those two chapters in Nehemiah, the one in Nehemiah and one in Ezra, because they're long, they're a little extensive, and I'm just going to do a summary reading of it here. And they're very powerful because they're so foundational for us. In 586 BC, Babylon conquered Judah, destroyed Jerusalem, the first temple, and deported many of the Jewish people into exile. Although the exile itself lasted about 70 years, the restoration of Israel described in Ezra and Nehemiah spans approximately 140 years. From Jerusalem's destruction to the rebuilding of the city's religious, social, and civic life. The books of Ezra and Nehemiah are closely connected, and many scholars believe they were originally one unified work. Together, they tell the story of Israel's restoration after the Babylonian exile. Ezra emphasizes the rebuilding of the temple and the spiritual renewal of God's people through the law, while Nehemiah focuses on rebuilding Jerusalem's walls and restoring the community's stability and covenant life. Ezra 7 is an important turning point in the narrative. The focus shifts from rebuilding the temple to restoring God's word among the people. Ezra is a priest and a skilled scribe in the law of Moses. He receives authorization from King Artaxerxes of Persia to travel from Babylon to Jerusalem. He is commissioned to bring offerings to the temple, appoint judges, enforce God's law, and teach it to the people. Artaxerxes the First favored Ezra because he recognized him as a trustworthy expert in the law of God and of Israel, who could help establish order and good leadership in Judah. Supporting Ezra also fit the Persian policy of promoting stability by respecting local religions. According to Ezra 7, the king also desired to avoid the wrath of Israel's God against the king and his sons. That little statement right there floors me, that the king would be so fearful of the one true God, yet never receive him. It just befuddles me sometimes. Providing a religious motivation from the text perspective for supporting Ezra's mission. Throughout the chapter, Ezra's success is repeatedly attributed to the gracious hand of the Lord upon him. Ezra 7 introduces Ezra as a spiritual leader whom God uses to renew the faith, obedience, and covenant commitment of the returned exiles. This mission reaches its full fulfillment in Nehemiah 8, where Ezra publicly reads and explains God's laws, leading the people in repentance and renewed covenant faithfulness. Together, Ezra and Nehemiah present a unified story of restoration, rebuilding both the physical community and the spiritual life of God's people through his word. We get an overall picture of the rebuilding, which must happen first, then the renewal. Heavenly Father, we just pray that you be with us for these next few minutes as we share your word and this story and see how it impacts us in our lives and what you're calling us to do, where to go, and how to go about it. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. How many people actually read Isaiah 7 and 8? All right, just a little thing. If we're going to throw it out there on CCB, you get on there and you read it because it will make this flow a lot better for you if we ask you to do it. You should read it. And by the way, as I'm telling you that, I should read it. I did read it, but I should read it again. And I should keep reading the stories from the Old Testament. In fact, I stand here convicted before you all right now because my office is right next to Pastor Donnie's, who every day he comes into the office, his first order of business, if I don't interrupt him, is to read God's word. And he reads it from start to finish every year, and it's a challenge. We need to be in God's word so we're not ignorant to the things that God wants to speak and communicate to us. Once a week is better than nunce a week, but I'm telling you, every day is really what the challenge is for me and for everybody here in this place. Let's get into his word and start reading on a regular basis. Donnie, thank you for the example you set. Amen. Jesus' name. First thing I want to share is our foundations have to be laid so that renewal can occur. Renewal. The title of the message is Rebuilding to Renewal. You cannot get to renewal until you do some building. And so we have to rebuild some things in our lives. And that's kind of going to be the gist of what I talk to you about a little bit here today. God's work of restoration is not complete when rebuilding is complete, but rather when his people are renewed by his word. That's a powerful statement. If we are not in his word, we cannot be renewed by it. If we're in his word once a week, our renewal is going to take a really long time. Once a week's not enough. We need to feed on his word daily. That's what I was just kind of alluding to before. But the challenge is for us to be in his word as a Bible-believing church. To be in his word as a Bible-believing, spirit-filled church. We need to be in his word. When we cross over from just being Bible-believing into his spirit-filled, we need to be in his word even more. So that we operate by the truth of his word instead of by every whim and fancy of a church world that's maybe off a degree or two. When we're in his word, we know the truth of the matter and we operate by the truth of that matter, what the word of God says. See, in the church, a lot of times people contrive and create and follow things that were not even in God's word. They sound good. A lot of times they feel good. But are they the truth of God's word? And are we walking by it? And by the way, I want to walk by those things. I like how they feel. I like how it is. But I really want to be accurate in how I go about it. And that's why we have to be in his word. How many people love being filled with the Holy Spirit? How many people love operating by the power of the Holy Spirit? Yes. How many people think, who have been here over time, think that maybe you did not operate appropriately in the Holy Spirit? Yeah, there's been some times, yes. And we get to that place. And the thing that usually brings it about is a lot of times it's emotionalism. We get hyped up. We get amped up. The Spirit of God feels good. And we take some liberties in that. And before you know it, we're out of order because we didn't know the truth of God's word concerning this. And when we know the truth of God's word concerning his precious Holy Spirit, we are free to enter in. And we move by that Spirit as it aligns with God's word. We need to be a spirit-filled church in this day. When we hear from Paul Daniel next week, if he's not a spirit-filled man, he cannot walk through the country that he comes from and share the gospel the way he shares it without the power of the Holy Spirit in him. Right now, there is an attack on the Holy Spirit, in my opinion. And the attack is subtle. It's subversive. It comes from different angles, chipping away at the reality and the truth of the Holy Spirit and contriving it and making it to be something it's not. Or he's not. We have to know God's word. We could almost quit the message right now and send you all home if we just get that. Before Judah was carried into exile, the prophets repeatedly warned that God's people had become outwardly religious but inwardly unfaithful. We put on a shine, but we are dead man's bones on the inside. If this is a once a week deal and we're not growing day by day in Christ, something else has taken place other than what we were called to do. I want to be fully renewed. I can't even think of the word, but I want to be all that God has called for me to be. That's what I want for my own personal life. I want to work and grow and operate in the fullness of what he has for me. And I don't want to be limited by my own ignorance, which can get in the way. So I need to know and operate by his word, the power of his word, that I may join in the power of his spirit and operate as I should operate. That's a lot of words, wasn't it? I could have just said, be filled with the Holy Spirit and call it a day and send everybody home and enjoy the 4th of July. Isaiah 29:13 says, therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me. This is a picture of the church. In that day, in the church in this day, we honor God, with our lips. But the truth of him and his being living in us and operating through us seems to fall short many times. Why? Because our hearts are far from him. You cannot build a great relationship with the living God once a week. And that's to teach, actually. That's what this is about. We need more than once a week. So people in life groups, if you're in a life group, you're automatically, and you come here on Sundays, you're meeting with God three times a week for sure. The day that you spend studying what you're going to speak about in your life group, the actual life group where you're hearing what the others said on the same scriptures, and then what you've learned. And then when you come on Sunday, which is the worship day for all the Christians, right? So we think. No, we have to be steadily feeding on God's word. And I'm going to go back to what I said about Pastor Donnie. Donnie makes mistakes like anybody else, all right? Donnie, go ahead and tell him. We can give your testimony five times over, and that can't be the helicopter one. But he has a testimony too. But he is an example to us to be forever in God's word. And that's what I want for our church, for all of us to be in that place. Jeremiah 7:1-4 says, "The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, 'Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all of you of Judah who enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Do not trust in these lying words saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these." Why? Because God wants us to trust in him and his word. It's not about the things. It's not about the temple. It's not about the church building, although ours is looking better and better all the time, and it's going to keep looking better because there's people that like to take care of it. It's not about that. Though they're good things, they're not the thing. To me, this is a picture of surface things versus deep things. One is majoring in the minors versus minoring in the majors. I don't know that either is really good. How about majoring in the majors? And that's what we're talking about here today. We major in the majors as believers. The only way we come to know God deeply is by majoring in the majors, and the majors is his precious word. It's what we have. We have his spirit, but we don't know how to always operate by his spirit because we only have a little understanding via the word. When you know the word, you operate by the power of the Holy Spirit deeper, better, cleaner, clearer. Ezekiel 33:31 says, "So they came to you as people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain." So Isaiah is warning us here against lips without hearts. Jeremiah is warning us to trust in the temple instead of, the people are saying, trusting in the temple instead of God. You need to trust in God over the temple. Ezekiel warned against hearing God's word without obeying it. These are three Old Testament prophets that speak to the very thing I'm talking to you about right now. And it's sobering. If you take an inward look, it's quite sobering because it shows us where we're not measuring up with God, where we're falling short. Does it change how God loves us? No. Does it change how we can grow and respond to him? Yes. And that's what it's about. Let the church be the church. And let God be God, and let the church celebrate God, because we know how to celebrate God. Thank you, Jesus. Second thing, rebuilding and renewal begin with a heart for God's word. I'm going to go back to that again. Ezra 7:5, starting at B. The son of Aaron, the chief priest. This is Ezra. This Ezra came up from Babylon, and he was a skilled scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. The king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord, his God, upon him. Some of the children of Israel, the priests, the Levites, the singers, the gatekeepers, and Nethinim, boy, say that one a couple times, came up to Jerusalem in the seventh year of King Artaxerxes. And Ezra came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was the seventh year of the king. And on the first day of the month, he began his journey from Babylon. And on his first day of the fifth month, he came to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. Thank God for the priests who were righteous before God, who knew God's word. And in this case, it's the first five books of the Bible. They knew it. And they knew it well. And the call on Ezra, the priest, was to preach and teach God's word to the people. Remember, they're in a foreign land. They're not getting fed by somebody like Ezra, by a priest, by somebody who's delved into God's word, chewed on his word, probably wrestled with his word, but he knew his word. After the temple was rebuilt, God raised up Ezra to rebuild the hearts of the people. So when we talk about a building, a facade, and there's some really nice ones out there. If you drive around and look at some of the different churches, you say, whoa, that's a nice looking church. Wow, I want to get married in that cathedral someday. I mean, our city is filled with old, beautiful churches. Catholics in the day knew how to do it. Just beautiful pieces of art, works of art. But it could be filled with dead man's bones if Christ isn't the center. If Christ isn't the center of the projects that we at this church have set before us, if he's not the center of it, it could come to mean nothing or mean little. This is where this is going. What did Ezra want to do? He wanted to present the word of God to the people. What was Ezra called to do? Well, he was a priest. He was called to preach the word of God to the people. What does that mean? That means Ezra's going to stand in front of the people and tell them the things they need to hear. That means Ezra's going to stand in front of the people and tell them the things they don't want to hear. Why? Because he's more concerned about their soul, as a priest would be, than he is their, I don't even know what you call it, their selfish ways, their interests. Those things aren't unimportant, but they don't measure up to the reality of what he was called to do, which was to speak life to his people. That's the call here. Anybody that comes up on this platform, that's the call, is to present out what God has for us to give. And to, as much as we can, not make it about us, but to make it about him. And anybody that comes to this platform, that's the heart that they have, I believe. So Ezra's model, he modeled the kind of life God uses. God will use you. Here's the kind of person he's looking for here. Here's what he's looking for inside each person. He sought God's word. He obeyed God's word. He taught God's word. And he wanted to work with the people that would do the same. He wanted to bring the people to a place where they would do the same. For that was lacking in their world. This is true for us today. We are to seek, obey, and share, and teach God's word. Who's to do this? Well, I'm here to tell you we're all to do this. I'm doing it here today. But you are here to do that and take that to where you go. And by the way, I don't get excused from that. I still have to go and tell my neighbor. And I have to go tell people that I run into. I have to go tell, it was really, funeral's a difficult thing, but it's like I said before, this is one of the best funerals we went to. There were people I got a chance to share what I was about at that funeral, Connie. There was an opportunity. Something about funerals, people are ripe to hear something. Because the ignorance of the world about what happens after we die, they have thoughts and ideas, but they don't know. We know. We're to tell. This is not a day where we can be lazy in this either. We have to step into this. I know I'm only going to see 25 people next week, but we have to step in to this work that God has called us to do. You right now know more about who Jesus is, You know more about what Scripture says than the people you will probably approach. So what I'm saying is you have the upper hand in any dialogue concerning God. And when they tell you nonsense, you say, well, that's not what the Word says. And you go to the God sense. And you tell them what the Word says concerning people who don't know God. And we deliver it. That's a pretty hard message for us, because it's not easy to do. And you can't do it in your own strength, to be honest with you. But thank God we're a Spirit-filled church, and you have the Holy Spirit living and dwelling in you. He comes alongside. And when you spend a little time in prayer saying, God, I'm kind of scared. I got to talk to this person about you. And you're kind of frightening, God. And so I need your help. And if you're spending time in His Word, it will come to you. And every Sunday you hear a gospel message, or you hear a call to receive Jesus. We'll do that before this service is over. And you can use that call when you're talking one-to-one with a person. Thank you, Jesus. Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach a statute and rules in Israel. But before God uses us to influence others, He first shapes us through His Word. Renewal always begins with a personal devotion. He is calling you and I to a place of devotion with Him where we grow to know Him deeper for multiple reasons. One is for our benefit in a relationship with Him. Two, it prepares us for what He calls us to do, to go and tell, to go and be. Sometimes you're preaching by how you act. Sometimes you're preaching by how you don't act. When you look and smell like the world and you stop and you refrain from that, you've grown. And that new person is the one that's speaking to those you used to hang with. How many of you understand what I just said? Okay, because that was wordy. When I first became a Christian, I wanted to tell people. And I felt like I was armored with a weapon. But I only had like two bullets in my weapon. Jesus loves you. He died for you. Those were about my two weapons. And I'm going to share that with a bunch of coaches in a small room who are talking naughty. And I'm going to share that Jesus loves them. And I got my bullet out. I felt like Barney Fife sometimes. And I'm going to tell them that Jesus loves them. Get lost, kid. It's kind of what you go into. But when I grow, and I grew to know His Word, I would pick opportunities, and I would move as the Spirit led me, and I would speak to them and ask where they're at with their faith. What church do you go to? I watched Jerry do it 100 times. He was always asking people what church they go to. Why? Because it's an open door. For what? To tell. Well, I go to this church. Pretty good church. You should try it out. Well, what's so good of it? What's so good about it? Well, the Word of God is preached. The Spirit of God moves. And people's lives get changed. Simple. If you ever want to talk about it, you can finish the conversation. If you ever want to talk, I'm here. It could be that simple, but what you've done is you planted a seed. Right? And you didn't have to do the whole salvation call. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you do. But you'll know it. You hear it every Sunday, usually. But there is a challenge to the church in this day. I used to say people are ripe. I don't know. I think people are getting harder and harder and harder on the outside. On the inside, they're dying. The nonsense of the lifestyle that many are living and choosing today is killing them. And at some level, they know it. And you have the opportunity to speak life to those people. And if you don't feel like you got a response you liked, you left them with a message. That's what it's about. That's what it's really all about. But He has to grow us before we're really able to get into that place. So be growing. He'll take you into those places bit by bit. He first shapes us through His Word. Renewal always begins with a personal devotion. That's where the church is called to be. Personally and deeply devoted to God. We have to grow in Him. We can't stagnate. I think if we stagnate, we actually go backwards. grow in your faith. This is all of us. I'm talking to myself here, so if you feel lonely, like I'm picking on you, I'm picking on us. The challenge is to know what you're talking about so we grow in it, because God has purpose and plans for us to walk in it. Third thing, renewal advances by God's sovereign hand. It is God who will change you. I love this church, and I've loved it from the first time I came here. I loved it even after Elaine Miller led me in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I thought she was the craziest lady on the planet, and here I am following along, and I'm getting filled with the Holy Ghost. And Elaine, it hasn't changed. I still move by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I speak a heavenly language, and you were the one that led me to that about 30 years ago. And it's a big deal to me today. But what I really got was empowerment. I love speaking and praying in tongues. That's just how I pray. It's easier, actually. In fact, everything I do when I let the Holy Spirit do it is easier than when I try to do it myself. And when I'm praying in the Spirit and I pray in tongues, it's the Spirit of God speaking to the Father on my behalf. Words that I don't even understand, but I'm speaking them. And trusting God and trusting His Holy Spirit, and He conveys it to the Father, to the Son. What a beautiful thing. I pray more in tongues than I do in the understanding. Paul said the same thing. Well, actually, I got it from Paul, but I said, this is a good way to work. Paul prayed in the Spirit more than he did in the understanding. Don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit, but be wise in how you pray in the Holy Spirit. Know Him. Everything Ezra needed for his mission came because God's hand was upon him. And God moved mightily. What did he do? He moved. How did he move? By his power. In whom did he move? In those who had him and received him. For what purpose did he move? To use, to create, to impact, to influence a people. Same thing he'll do with us today. What people did he move? He moved the heart of a king. Can you imagine Ezra moving the heart of a king because the Spirit of God was in him? A king who was not a godly king? A king who feared the one true God? Ezra had favor in his eyes. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was at work in him. What did he create? The heart of a king, Xerxes, he spoke to him. The resources of the Persian Empire, he had access. And the circumstances surrounding Ezra's journey, a pagan king became an instrument in God's plan because God is sovereign and rules over every authority. Do you know this? Over every authority, God rules. And when he uses you, he's ruling over those authorities through you. And we're doing it by the power of Him. God is already at work in our lives, and the circumstances we cannot control, our responsibility is to faithfully follow where He leads us. That's the challenge of the church. And maybe now more than ever. How many people, I don't even know how I'm going to ask this question. How many people had an experience with the Holy Spirit, let's say like in the early 80s? Anybody? Okay, there's only four of us left. Okay, back row. I love that. Yes. And over that time, have you grown in it? Or have you kind of weaned yourself from it? Should we do a show of hands again? No, we won't do a show of hands. I got excited when I first got filled with the Holy Ghost. I got excited. And I got filled, and it was amazing. But if I didn't actively grow in it, I somehow fell back. Not that I lost anything of the Holy Spirit. I lost my impetus to go operate through the Holy Spirit. I don't know if that made sense, but it does to me. So we challenge you to continue in that move, because circumstances pop up all the time. And to operate and work with the power of the Holy Spirit is to your benefit. It's also to your effectiveness. And our objective is to faithfully follow where God leads us. And to do that by the power of the Holy Spirit is the way to do this. And the fourth thing, renewal is fulfilled through God's word. And we go over this often. If you don't know God's word, you don't know God fully. You know of him, but you don't really know him in all the ways that you can know him. And once you think you know him because you've been through his word, you go through it again. Right, Donnie? And again. And again. For how many years, Donnie? 35, 40 years of doing that. I'm not here to embarrass Pastor Don. I'm here to get excited about what he does because he's laid an example for me. And I want that to be passed on. So in Ezra chapter 7, moving into chapter 8, Ezra begins the mission. Nehemiah 8 shows the result of Ezra's mission. Years later, after Jerusalem's walls had been rebuilt under Nehemiah, Ezra gathered the people and read the book of the law before the entire nation. This is new for them. They didn't get this when they're taken away to another country. The Levites, those are the priests, explained its meaning so people could understand. As they heard God's word, they were convicted of their sin, worshiped the Lord, repented, and renewed their covenant with him. On an individual basis, sometimes we just need to do that. We know we've slipped, we've fallen back, and we just come back to God and say, God, I want to renew the promises I made in the past, and I want to bring them back to current, and I want to be right before you. I want to grow in you. What a beautiful prayer. That you do on your own. You can do it in a quiet place. You can go to the Psalm 23 place. You can go to the chaotic place. You can go wherever you need to go, but he will hear that prayer. And he will fill you with what you need. As they heard God's word, they were convicted of their sin. That's the power of God's word. They worshiped the Lord, they repented, and they renewed their covenant with him. That is the beauty of the Lord. How many people here, this is just for you to process in your head, how many people here raised their hand or received Jesus into their heart to be their Lord, to be their Savior, to be their God, to be filled with his Holy Spirit, and it felt so good, it was so amazing, and all of a sudden the feelings began to wander and you began to wander also, and before you know it, you're not connecting with God at all. That's happening to the church. What's happening? I'll tell you what's happening in the church. People from that experience have fallen away from God. That doesn't mean God doesn't love them, because he does. But it also means that he is going to woo them back, hopefully, if they receive it, if they have ears to hear, if they're not afraid to come back to that experience, to that reality of who God is. But the church, in the most critical day that we live, cannot afford to be falling away from God. The church is to rise up in this day. This is the day of days that we want to be filled with the power of God to affect change all over the place. It's like the clock is ticking and there's not a whole lot of ticks left in the clock. And he's given us the opportunity to step in and be a part of what he's going to do and is doing now. I love people when they get saved and they get impassioned for God, and they're, right now, their information and understanding is this thick, but all of a sudden they get involved and they start to grow and grow, and they have questions. Before you know it, they're popping off because they know something. And they're excited about what they know. And all of a sudden, the saints who have been sitting in their duffs for how many years, who have been just thinking, maybe we should try a different church, or maybe I should go to this place because that one's not doing it for us, or whatever it is, because they didn't sustain and continue growing. He is raising up a new generation. We've said this before. It's this new generation coming up that I think God has something incredibly special for them. And let's not diminish them. Let's get excited for them. Let's maybe mentor them. And let's maybe encourage them. And maybe we should pray for them. God, work through that fire hydrant of a believer filled with your Holy Spirit. Work through her or him. We got some in this church. I can't even keep up. They get this fire and passion because the love of God is so fresh in them. I can't keep up. And they got to do something. We give them something to do. They go do it with passion, with zeal. And then I got meetings in my office happening now because somebody brought their brother in. And then his daughter she brought in. It was a she. That means we come just a little bit behind and we'll do it too. The men will. We'll come around after we see if it works. Well, what's happening? She's impacting a family and they don't even know it. They just know they feel something. They feel a stir. They feel awkward. They feel all kinds of feelings, but they know what they're hearing is right because they can see the example that this precious woman has set before them. And the person that I'm talking about isn't acting. The person I'm talking about is filled with God. That's what it is. And it's him coming out of her, and she's just so excited about what he's doing. You know what that did for me? It got me excited about what I was doing. And it's good. It's going to happen with the younger generation, I believe, in this day. I don't know that there's a whole bunch of time left. I don't know if I get into big, deep, prophetical kinds of things. It looks like it's getting pretty crazy out there to me. It looks like how much further can it go before the whole thing implodes? Even so, Lord, come quickly. Amen. Blow that trumpet, Jesus. Go ahead, blow it. We're ready. Well, I feel like I'm ready. I think my church is ready. Don't want to leave any behind, so maybe you have to wait a couple weeks. That's what goes through my head. My head. Thing is just spinning. This story reminds us that the goal was never simply rebuilding a temple or repairing city walls. Though those things are important, they're not the end of all things. Christ is the end of all things. God's ultimate purpose was to restore a people who would love him, obey him, and worship him. God's objective in this church is to find people who would love him, obey him, and worship him. Churches can build buildings, ministries, programs, but true renewal happens only when the truth of God's word transforms people's hearts. This is the bottom line. This is where we have to go. God, I invite you in. And God, I am giving you my heart. And I trust you with it. I trust you'll take my heart and do what's best for it and for me. And then when I have a courage, boosting of my courage, then I say, God, use me. Use me in a way that you want to use me. Send me to the places I have to go because I trust you. That's where he'll bring you. And what you accomplish will be greater than what you're not doing right now. It'll be greater than what you are doing right now. And the same is true for me. In our church's vision, the focus on God's word is essential for our growth, development, and impact. The word of God, and we've said this over the last several months, the importance of the word of God, protecting the sanctified word of God, reading the precious word of God, filling ourselves with it. That's the challenge for the church, is to continue in that place and in that pattern. That's how we grow. For the growing believer, it's critical that they handle and present God's word correctly, not getting too loose with it, or its interpretation. We have to know his word. And so we do the best to have people in his word throughout the course of the week. When we're cooking, we know that as a church, we're going through God's word 2 and 3 times a week. The same word where we take it in. If you're in a life group, you're going to get it 3 times a week probably. You're going to get it when you meet in your life group because it's the same thing we preach. So you're going to get it when you're in your life group. You're going to get it when you study to present what you found in the word, and then you're going to get it again on Sunday. That's why life groups are a big deal. And right now, Tim, Pastor Tim, you have all the free time in the world. They need to be bothering you about getting involved in a life group. It will fill you, and it'll be exciting for you if you get caught up in a life group. Worship team, you can come forward. We have to know God's word. Ezra and Nehemiah tell one restoration story. Ezra restored worship. Nehemiah restored a city. God's word restored the people. God's word will restore us people. The same pattern remains today. God is not just interested in rebuilding what has been broken around us. He desires to renew what has been broken within us. This is a big deal. And this is why we do the ministries that we do here. He wants to rebuild people. All right? And not just everybody around us, but he wants to renew from within them. He wants to renew within you and within me. He wants to change us, conform us to his pattern, not the world's pattern. That's God's business. Thank you, Jesus. Lasting renewal begins with hearts devoted to God's word, empowered by his Holy Spirit, guided by his sovereign hand, and the results in lives marked up by worship, obedience, and faithfulness. Do you get into worship? And I'm not just talking about singing. I'm talking about deep-spirited worship. It could be in prayer, probably best when it's in prayer, and you get into that place. And maybe it breaks out into the kind of worship we're familiar with. Maybe in your prayer time, you break into song. When I'm alone, I do. I haven't mustered enough courage to really do that publicly yet, unless everybody sings louder. Come to the place where you worship God in this fashion. I'm almost ready, Mike. God prepares the servant. God provides the opportunity. God produces the renewal. What does that mean? That means we need to invite God in. Plain and simple, you have to invite God in. What does that look like? For those who don't know him, you say, God, I need to know you. Come, fill me. Come, change me. I give my heart to you, and I trust you with it. I trust you to mold it and fashion it and conform it to what you want it to be. That's our God. And he will be about the business of changing you and conforming you to his pattern. And he will begin to pull you out of the world's pattern, which is no good for us. How does that happen? Well, you invite him in. It's really that simple, as you invite him in. You say, Jesus, right now it's tough. I'm lost. I've never been serious about you. I'm lost in so many ways. I need a change, and I'm trusting you to change me. I'm trusting you to impact me. I'm trusting you to save me. If you've never done that before, today's a good day to do it. Tomorrow might not come. And what does it mean if you do it? It means you become his. What does it mean to become his? It means salvation for you eternally. It means someone to walk alongside you daily. It means someone who dwells in you by his Spirit, moment by moment. I can't think of a bigger deal than inviting Christ in. And I can't think of a more serious thing than walking away because you grew away from him. So if there's anybody that would like to receive Jesus, this is not an embarrassing thing. This is what the church celebrates. And you say, I need that. I need everything that was said here today. I need it. And you want to receive Christ today. And what you're doing when you receive him is you're saying, Jesus, you be Lord. You come into my heart. You change my heart. You grow me into what you want me to be. And you want guarantee of salvation. Is there anybody here that wants to do that today? Are we all saved today? There'll be people up here at the altar. And if you want to just come and get prayed for, they love praying for you. You can tell them what's going on in your heart. And they'll lead you in a prayer of salvation. But right now, that's an opportunity. Here's what's on my heart. It's the church. And you felt yourself sliding away from this reality of who Jesus is in us. And yeah, you've made decisions in the past, but you want to get those right. You've walked away, and for all practical purposes, you feel like you don't even know God anymore. Or maybe you feel like because you haven't spent time with him, he doesn't know you anymore. All you have to do is say, God, I'm sorry. Renew me. Forgive me. And he does. most of my prayers asking for forgiveness, by the way, pretty routinely in my humanity. If you want to do that, you come on up and people will pray for you. It'll be beautiful. Come on in. Come on up. Let God enter in again.